first verse of the 34th chapter, and then skip over to the 35th, and read just a little bit here. The first verse of the 34th chapter. You know, I wish we had a practice where our people brought their Bibles to church with them, you know. That's one of the best practices that you've ever had in your life. I know that we carry the Word in our heart. I know that. But you know, you'd hardly expect any school children to go to school without a textbook. And, you know, we don't think of schools and colleges in the Bible, but if you notice there in the 22nd verse, before we read here in the 22nd verse of the 34th chapter, the wife of Shalom dwelling here in the college. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. Back there, they had their schools. And God's move is a great big school. How many of you know that?
Amen. Praise God.
We bring our textbooks, Brother Charlie, to school with us, to college with us. Coming together as a great group of believers. That's not what I want to read or preach on. I just wanted to call that to your attention. But in the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, how many of you know what the word chronicle means? We speak of putting things in a chronological order. That was the book of the kings that chronologically set things up. And we have a record of it here that's called the Chronicles. And this is concerning a great king named Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baal in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the sights of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves that had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 35th chapter, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. If you recall, that's when they come out of Egypt. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son. And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people. And after the division of the families of the Levites, so kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priest, and to the Levite, Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen, Coniah also, and Shimei, and Nathaniel, his brethren, and Hashabah, and Jeiel, and Jochabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. Here, in the 15th verse of the 36th chapter, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. I don't want to speak to you just a little bit this morning on these thoughts. And I never pick anything that I'm going to preach on. I come to the pulpit or to the sacred desk, and I don't like to call it a pulpit because that's what they've made it. You know, they've turned it into pulling offerings and turned it into a pit, changed the word of God into a lie, loving the creature and esteeming him more than the creator. But anyway, I come up here to the sacred desk and I wait for God to tell me or to give me what I'm going to preach on, and he does. For many years now we've done that, and years ago when I first started off, I'd get me a sermon, I'd study, and I'd preach, you know, on whatever I could get together. Well, there came a time that worked all right to begin with, but then there came a time when I couldn't seem to stay with what I would read. I would take something and pick it out and read it, and then when I get up, I'd preach something else. And it got right discouraging to me, so I decided that if God wanted to say something else, then he ought to know what he wanted to read with it. So I decided I'd let him read what he wanted to read and then say what he wanted to say. So the Bible said it's not you that speaketh, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And so then I decided that if he was the one that was going to do the talking, we might as well let him do the reading too. And this morning, the Lord has allowed me to turn over to Chronicles, into the book of Josiah, a little fellow that was just a lad when God set him on the throne. The Bible said, a little child shall lead thee. And when we have troubles, problems, and we can't seem to get anybody to straighten them out, and we can't find maybe an orator, a great leader, or some man that can do it, then God will all of a sudden confound mankind by taking a little Josiah somewhere and picking up a little babe and putting that babe in the power of rulership and giving it a tender, loving heart that the Holy Spirit can commune with, and all of a sudden it becomes a great leader and has the answer to our problems. You know, it's no wonder that the prophet said, I'm a little child. And the Bible said, a man child shall be born. A little child, and that child, the Bible said, we'll call his name Jesus, for it shall be Emmanuel, being God with us. Is that right? And so then, in that the world cannot handle the problems, in that the great presidents and the great kings and the great leaders and the great philosophers and the great judges of the earth and all of the great powers of the dignitaries can't handle the situation, then as Brother Taylor sings the song, God is bringing forth a man-child. And this man-child will be able to handle the situation. This man-child will be able to set things back into its original order and bring forth a government that will benefit the people of God. You know, I've heard people say, Brother Pike, preachers have no business messing with politics. Do you understand and realize that everything that God is doing is referring to a government that is to come in and swallow up the earth? Everything that a preacher says, every ordination of God,
saved, that preachers have no business in politics. To the contrary, they that are in politics have no business than the preacher's supposed to be at the head of it. That's the way it is. The prophets of old made the decisions. It was God that made the decisions. Kings didn't make decisions. It was God's prophets that told the kings what to do. And when the kings decided to make their own decisions, God would put them down. And there'd always be a complacency, there'd always be a problem. And God would have to change the order of the situation. Today, if the presidents and the leaders had not done like Saul of old, instead of going to them that peep, the Bible said, and going to enchanters, going to fortune tellers, soothsayers, if they'd have went to the men of God and got the mind of God, today we'd have the great government that God wanted in the earth. The Bible teaches that the whole earth is waiting and groaning, waiting, mourning for the coming of the sons of God that will come into this earth and set everything in order. That's why we've got so much abortion in the day that we're living in. It's that old evil mind of Herod trying to kill out the coming of the man-child. Because the last generation that was to come up was to be a wretched, miserable generation. But in the midst of that generation, God was to bring forth a people that will manifest His Spirit, that will manifest His name, manifest His glory, manifest His power, and be the powers of the dignitaries that is to take over this world and set up the right kind of government for the people. The sons of God, the world is waiting for them. Who are they? They are the dignitaries of the earth. Some people intermeddle with things they don't know anything about. And the Bible said, being vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds, thinking that they know something when they don't know something that they ought to know, they speak evil of dignities and dignitaries, whereas the angels who are greater in power and might dare not bring railing accusation. But even the great angel, as he came to dispute over the body of Moses, just turned to Satan and said, "The Lord rebuke thee," and would not dare bring railing accusation that the brute beast of this world today bring as they speak against the sons of God and against the dignitaries. Somebody said, "Well, bless God, they're people and men just like I'm a man." No, they're not people and men just like you are a man. They're not women just like you are a woman. It just so happens these people are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, that they're the tabernacle of God in the earth that John saw, and they're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a brute beast made to be taken and burned and speak great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage, and don't know where you're going, don't know where you've been, and don't know what's happening in the present day that you're living in. The Bible said that He sent His messengers. He rose up early, sending them messengers, but they did not receive the messengers. He said they despised the messengers. And when the messengers come, instead of receiving them, instead of submitting themselves to them, and instead of following them, the Bible said that they despised the messengers, and they tried to kill the messengers, and they tried to pervert what the messengers said, and tried to lay things to the charge of the messengers. But I want you to know this morning that you can't lay one thing to the charge of God's elect. If you've got something in your mind that you think, then that means that you're wrong to begin with. You are wrong to begin with when you say something against a man of God or think something against a man of God. If that person was wise, the first thing that they would say, they'd say, "You need to get born again because you are in bad shape." That's what they need to do. Because it's usually a tattler or a troublemaker. It's usually somebody that's carrying tales or causing strife. And the Bible said tale-bearing and strife, it separates chief friends. Whisperers separate chief friends. If you're a real man or a real woman, when you've got something, you'll go to that individual. Somebody said, "Well, that's the kind of person I am. I go right to the individual." You sure do. And when you get through, you leave a trail of mess from the time you talk to him until you come back around talking to him again. That's right. But the Bible said for you to confess your sins. Somebody said, but I confess my sins, Brother Pike. But God said, forsake your sins. That's the part you haven't done. You've made confessions, but you've not done any forsaking. You need to get away from it. When God couldn't find a leader, couldn't find anybody that respected his prophets, he said, I sent you prophets rising up from the morning until the evening. I sent you messengers. I sent you prophets. I told you what to do. He said, but you didn't do it. I explained to you what God wanted, and it came to pass. He said, but you never feared. You never reverenced. You never respected what God told you. He said, until there come a time when God said, there is no remedy. There is no more remedy for the things that mankind has done. I've given you every remedy that I've had. I've offered you every advice that I could offer you. I've sent dignitaries into the earth, but you killed the prophets. You spoke evil against them. You said contrary things. And he said, there is no remedy anymore. You've come to the end of the trail. You've come down to the end of the way, and there is no more remedy for your evil and wretched doings. Now, I've sent you messengers. I've tried to lead you. I've tried to talk with you. I've tried to tell you the things that you ought to know. But did you listen at me? Did you take my advice? You said, no, we'll have none of your counsel. And everything that I told you, you would none of it. And you put it away. And wisdom stood at the gate and at the doorpost and beckoned to you and told you to turn aside from your evil ways and come unto the Lord and listen to what the Lord had to say to you. But did you do that? He said, away with that and none of your counsel. We'll do our own thing. We'll go our own way. And now there is no more remedy for your sin. God said to Cain, if thou hast done well, Cain, wouldst thou not be accepted? But he said, because thou hast been wicked and slew thy brother, then he said, I will require thy brother's blood at your hand. And he said, thy brother's blood from the earth crieth aloud unto me. The life is in the blood. And he said, his blood is in the earth crying. It's crying, the souls on the altar crying, oh Lord, how long before you avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The life is in the earth crying out, how long, oh God, pleading and asking God to do something about the evils of today. God, in that day when there was no remedy, God reached back and got a little boy by the name of Josiah. And he said to him, he said, son, there's a great evil in the land. People around are worshiping idols, even the brazen image that Moses had made back yonder in the days when the king came. Later on, they were still worshiping that same thing. Instead of using it for God's purpose, they had turned it into an idol. It's the same way today. I think of this very same thing. It took little Josiah to come in and tear down the serpent. Is that right? And today the serpent seed is all around the nation. Everybody talks about the serpent seed, and they're worshiping it from a sex, in a perverted way, from a sex appeal, instead of going to God and taking the meaning of it and the purpose of it that God intended. And when God sent Josiah, he tore down the serpent. He tore down the brazen altars and done away with the evils of that day. Hallelujah. God said to Joshua, tell him my servant Moses is dead. He's dead. God let him die. And even though I believe that God brought him out from the grave, I believe that his bodily presence come out from the grave and stood there, because death, he could not be holding of death, in that he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet God had to let him die so that people would not cling to him and move on to the next realm of God, as God began to move in that day. So then little Josias went to the throne. Little Josias began to try to find out what was pleasing to God, where the trouble was, who were the troublemakers, what the trouble had been caused. And he began to dig up the bones and begin to burn the people. That is the bones of them that had come against God. And everything that was unlike God, he not only went into the groves and tore it down, but the Bible said he went back in men that had opposed God in the years gone by. When he could find their bones, he dug their bones up out of the ground and built a fire and laid the bones there and burnt the bones of the body of them, that there'd be no remembrance of anyone that had perverted the ways of God, that nobody could go to a grave and say, here lies a great man that withstood God or withstood Moses. He wouldn't even allow the bones of them to stay there, that there would be no remembrance of those former things. I'm glad that the scripture speaks one place saying that heaven and earth would pass away, but the word of God would not pass away. And he said, in that day when God heals the land, in that day when God reaches out and restores and sets up the kingdom, he said, and all things have passed away, there shall be no more remembrance of former things in that hour. No more remembrance of former things. Everything is going to pass away. God sends his dignitaries. God has sent forth the sons of God. The earth is waiting. Great and mighty dignitaries. They roll out the red carpet when people come around, like the Pope of Rome and Billy Graham, and like the great leaders of the world, they roll out the red carpet and they make a fuss. The reason is because the world loves its own. The world cares for its own. But I want you to know that the greatest dignitaries that shall ever tread the earth comes forth in their presence, and God blinds them, and God doesn't let them see, and God doesn't let them understand, because the Bible said that the wicked shall not see when good cometh. And God blinds them, and God lets them mumble, and God lets them grumble, and God lets them find fault against the Moses that he sends to them. And then God cuts them off in the wilderness of their carnal reasoning and their carnal mind. Picks up their children and takes them into Canaan. I have sent you messengers. I've sent you prophets. I've rose up early. I've pleaded my cause with you. I've asked you to understand me. I've asked you to take hold of my hand. I've asked you to walk with me. He said, but you would none of my counsel. You wouldn't listen to what I had to say. And he said, now your houses are left unto you desolate. You are left desolate without anybody to guide you or to help you, until the day that ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
Where are the prophets? Where are the prophets of today? Where are those that will cry out against sin today? Where are those that will tell the people of their wrongs today? The Bible said, I've not sent these men. He said, if else it had been men that had cried out against the wrong, that's the ones I would have sent. But these that have come to you today looking for money and fame and popularity and offering, I've not sent these people. He said, if I had sent them, he said, they would have called the people to turn away from their sins. Like Brother James Torrance, he isn't here this morning, I don't guess, but he made the statement, the great Church of God, Atlanta, Georgia, is so filled with evil and with the powers of corruption. Women come in there dressed anyway. Men come in there in any kind of condition, and the church is filled up and running over. And James Torrance told him, said, if you just let the gospel of Christ be preached there. Said, if you just bring in for a little bit, he said, you wouldn't have enough to fill up just a few pews if you let the gospel of Christ be preached. That's the truth. What is it? It's money. It's money. They've come into a bondage. They've gotten into a bondage. You can't do away with it. They meddled around and meddled around till they let the rich men get a hold of their goods and get a hold of their inheritance. And the money man has got the head of it, and they have to go along with it. That's what's happened to the government of today. People have so said that I can't do anything so long until other men that determine in their heart they could do something, they've made a money machine out of it. They've made a money machine out of it. But I'm glad that God has got a Josiah somewhere. I'm glad that God's got some sons of God somewhere. I'm glad that God's got some saviors somewhere. He said, I sent Israel saviors. Somebody said, Brother Pike, ain't you ought to be careful. You know there's but one savior, but the Bible said God sent Israel saviors. Not one savior, but saviors. He said, I'll bring up saviors. Jesus Christ's body is a many-membered thing, and every member of it is a savior. Every member of it is capable of bringing you into a land of milk and honey. Every member of it is capable of guiding you into a greater world, into a greater state of ecstasy with God and a greater understanding. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good, Al. Hallelujah. I thank God because God is doing something that we can see, feel, and understand that will benefit the people of God. The world is gone. I've sent you messengers, but you've rejected the messengers. And he said, now there is no remedy. There is no remedy. In that day, no man shall be able to save them. President Kissinger can give his pretty speeches, but that won't save them. Maynard Jackson can give his pretty speeches, but that won't save them. The eloquent men of today can give their speeches, but that won't save them. The Russian leaders and the Egyptian leaders and the Chinese leaders and all the rest can give their concept of things and how they feel about it, but that won't save them. But there's something that can save your soul. There's something that can save your inheritance. There's something that can save the crown that's slipping out of your hands. There's something that can help the condition that you're in today. There's something that can heal your body and bring you into your right mind. God is bringing forth a man child. There is no remedy for today. I have sent you messengers. How long has God pleaded with America? How long did God plead with Israel? Until there was no remedy for Israel. He said, Israel, I want to help you. I want to do something for you. Why don't you listen to Moses? Why don't you listen to Joshua? Why don't you listen to Solomon? Why don't you listen to David? Why don't you listen to the leaders that I've raised up? I want to save you, Israel. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. I am no respecter person. Israel, I want to do you good. He said, I know my thoughts toward you, and my thoughts are not evil toward you. That's where a lot of people get in trouble. They say, bless God, I know what that old pastor thinks. I know he don't like me. I know he don't like what I do. I know that he don't like this and he don't like that. And the first news you know, the devil's got some long-tongued feller or woman that'll come around and keep the fire burning by throwing on a few coals and say, yes, you know, I believe you're right. I think maybe that preacher does feel that way about you. I'm not sure, but I think I heard him say something that might have been just like that. And the first news you know, you and the preacher is at enmity. No matter how much the preacher explains to you, no matter how much he tries to tell you, you got to listen to a devil. You got to listen to what somebody says about it. Isn't that right? I know that the trail from here to Brother Godwin's and back down here has been kept hot with the filth and the evil long-tongued tailbearers that cause trouble. Long-tongued people. The Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. Stayed at envy and strife. And finally I told some of them to come to me. I said, I don't care what Brother Godwin does. That's his business and that's God. Up there, whatever he wants to do, that's his business. And what I do down here is none of Godwin's business. Amen. If people want to leave the Carolinas and come down here, that's God's business. If people want to leave down here and go to the Carolinas, that's God's business. The sheep don't belong to you. They belong to God. A lot of you long-tongued tail bearers that cause strife and running from camp to camp. A boy come to me here a while back. He said, I'll tell you, said, there's just trouble in these camps. So that's where the trouble is. He said, I just go from camp to camp and I find trouble in the camp. I said, that ain't the trouble. I said, it's a long-tongued tailbearers. Them that's wandering from camp to camp, it causes the trouble. I said, that's where the trouble is. have people who are going to gossip. People who are going to say things. People have just got to have a long tongue. They can't be satisfied. But God raised up a Josiah and he cut off the talebearers. He done away with the strife. And he done away with the evil. Josiah didn't feel any condemnation between him and his leader. He didn't feel that his leader was against him. He didn't feel that his leader was contrary to him. It's like a wife, she gets it in her mind, you know, that her husband doesn't feel right toward her. And so they're on the outs, and she builds it up, and she listens. And maybe the husband does everything within his power to try to treat her right and try to love her. But she's got to get that in her mind. She's got to get that in her mind. But let me tell you something. God is raising up throughout the world today leaders like Josiah. The Bible says this Josiah prepared a Passover. And brothers and sisters, there was never a Passover like that Passover. When he had the Passover, I mean it meant something. He didn't spare the flock and say, well, I don't want to be foolish and extravagant and maybe give a little bit too much in the offering. He said, but I'm going to do something for God. And he took everything that he could get a hold of. And as the people were summoned, he reached out there and this person gave an offering and that person gave an offering. And I mean, they got down to business and they gave an offering. He didn't do like the wicked Saul done. The wicked Saul, he didn't want to offer up his flock to God. He didn't want to take out of what he had. He had him a big herd, you know. He said, I don't see anything wrong, and it's just going over here killing out the enemy and getting a little bit of what the enemy got over there, and we'll offer that up to God, and then we can use ours on the side. That's the way a lot of people is that right? Amen. They got a few workers on the job. They'd like for them to do a job so they could give to the church. But the man that's the leader on the job, he decides it wouldn't be the right thing for him to do that because he's done given up. Isn't that right? You can say amen or oh me. What it is, it means that you need to sacrifice. You need to do something. You need to wake up. You've come to the place to where there's no remedy. God's brought America to the place to where there's no remedy. You can't find the remedy anymore. You talk to a man, and you talk to him, and you talk to him, and you raise him with him. Well, there's no remedy. School is no remedy anymore. College is no remedy anymore. Psychiatrist is no remedy anymore. Doctors is no remedy anymore. Medicine is no remedy anymore. Jobs, securities, benefits, insurance companies, all of this is no remedy anymore for the people. All have corrupted their way before God. God raised up little Josiah and set him on the throne. And little Josiah began to do away with the evils. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. I feel God. Little Josiah said, I think I'll do something for God. Isn't that a good thought, Willie? If every person in your heart would just take a little bit of what Josiah's had and say, God, I think I'll do something for God. I think I'll share with God a little of my substance, a little of my money, a little of my time in prayer, a little bit of effort to go visit with the sick and to help somebody in prison and to let the oppressed go free. I think I'll do something for God. I can fully assure you of one thing. People who gossip, mumble, complain, and cause trouble, these people don't do anything for God. The same one that pinches their pennies. Folks, I tell you the truth in Christ, and I am not lying to you. I have carefully surveyed it and watched it, and it's the truth. Those that pinch their pennies, those that just do a little here and a little there and put the old natural first, them is the biggest troublemakers that God ever had. Them is the biggest troublemakers the church has ever had. Amen. Their love is in their substance. Their love is in their own way. They don't look on the things of another. They don't try to think how great Al Gonzalez is or how great Brother Gary is or how great Brother Hollis is. They are thinking about what they know and what they understand, how that everybody's wrong. You're trying to prove to somebody they're wrong. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate to every good work, turned over to a reprobate mind, to be damned, to be led astray. said, I will send them strong delusions. Cause them to believe a lie and be damned because there's no remedy for them. Little Josiah's little fella. Glory to God, that does something to me every time I think of it. A little fella couldn't find a grown man. Couldn't find a grown man, so he brought forth a man child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Couldn't find a grown man, so he took a little old man child. Well, he picked him up and set him on the throne. He said, son, I can't get the dignitaries to listen at me. I can't get the great preachers to listen at me. I can't get the leaders to listen at me. I can't get the deacons to listen at me. And he said, son, you're just a little bitty fella. He said, but would you listen at me? Little old Josiah said, say on, Lord. Say on, Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever your desire is, that's my will and performance. You just say it, Lord, and we'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't he? Little Josiah said, I think we ought to do a little something here. He says, it's time for change. Hallelujah. You know, once in a while, God had a prophetess in the land, and sometimes they had a better record than some of the prophets, you know. So little Josiah, he began to do a little checking out, and he got some information. He began to set things in order, and he began to tell him. He said, now we're going to have a Passover. He said, we're going to have a Passover like Saul never did have, and like those other fellas back there never did have. He said, we're going to have a Passover. I mean a real Passover. Brethren, I want you to know we're going to have a Passover. We're going to have a Passover like the world's never seen before. We're going to offer to God the third best of the flock. Amen. We're not going to hold anything back from God, but these that follow the message and these that go with God, they're going to offer God a sacrifice, Eddie, that's well-pleasing. Hallelujah. You say, what kind of sacrifice? They're going to offer themselves as a lamb without spot, without blemish, for the sins of the people and for the need of the people. As the Bible said, killed all the day long, accounted the sheep of the slaughter. But in this being more than a conqueror, the Passover. Old Joshua said, prepare ye some victuals, because we're going over Jordan. Going over Jordan. I'll tell you what, you might not be able to get over Jordan, but we've got some people that's going over Jordan. Amen. You say, what do you mean over Jordan? I mean that old mind of the wilderness with the elders that don't do nothing but grumble and mumble and find fault and always trying to convince somebody of what they know and what they understand, how much that Moses is wrong. We're going to get away from that crowd. We're going to move away from that crowd. Amen. That old carnal mind of the wilderness. We're going to get away from it. That old carnal mind of Jordan is dead. Hallelujah. We're going to get out of Egypt, that old fleshly body. Go into the mind of Christ, which is the revelation, the promised inheritance of the saints. We're going into the vision of God, into the revelation of God, into the understanding of God. Into the word of spirit and power and healing. How many believe that? Said, get you some victuals ready. Said, we're going to get over Jordan here. Little brother Josiah said, we're going to have a Passover. Said, get your heart straight, folks. Hallelujah. Little bitty fella, I'll tell you right now, he might not have been but just 8 years old. That little fella, when he sat down on that throne up there, and when he said something, he meant business. Amen. The Bible said he'll rule with a rod of iron. And that little boy, he said, I mean business. When I say break down the groves, I want the groves broke down. I don't want somebody to go up there half-hearted and say, now look, I love Brother Pike, but Brother Pike is such and such and such. And I know Brother Pike said this, but now you've got to do it the way that I tell you, because we understand. See, that Brother Pike, he just don't know all those kind of things. And we've got to work together here now. And after all, God, Brother Pike, you ordained me a leader, and God's made me a leader. And what you need to do now is just do it the way I tell you to do it. Old Brother Josiah said, every time you catch an Absalom, cut his head off. He didn't use that term. But he said, when I say break down the groves, I want the groves broke down. He said, when I preach you a sermon, I want you to do what I told you to do. Amen. He said, and I ain't got no kind of leaders except them that's 100% in what I want them to do. Amen. He said, now I'm speaking for God. And I want this thing done the way the Lord said do it. And the Lord said, tear down the growth. The Lord said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. And he said, don't spare any of them. All of them is sin and gone astray. All of them's turned to their own way. Little brother Joe, he sat down on the throne. I think Joe's short for Joseph anyway, ain't he? Little brother Joe, he sat down on the throne. Boy, he started a revival that the world never did forget. He preached some sermons that's penned with a pen of iron. They've never got away from it. Somebody said they'd never have passed over like little Joe had. Never been a move like Josiah's had. Brother Josiah said, I'll tell you what, said it don't suit me enough to tear down them groves. He said, them fellas out there that spoke against Christ and spoke against this good old way, he said, get you some picks and shovels and go up there and start digging. Somebody, you know, folks don't believe in digging. But Bobby brought some shovels over the other day, and I thought we'd do a little bit of digging, but they don't believe in digging. But Joseph said, let's go down and do a little bit of digging. Your size it is. Let's do a little bit of digging. He said, I'm not just want the groves tore down. He said, I want them bones got up. I don't want any remembrance. He said, we're going to turn over a new page here. All things will pass away and there'll be no remembrance of former things. Ain't nobody can say my brother and my sister laying out yonder, you know, and I got to go back and give grandma a helping hand. We'll burn all the bridges behind us and cut them down, and you don't have a grandma anymore. Come on. I said you don't have a grandma anymore. You don't have a mother anymore. You don't have a dad anymore. You don't have a brother anymore. But you're in the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's time to burn the bridges and get rid of the bones and get the skeletons cleaned up or the closets. He said, I've sent you folks and I've tried to tell you different things. He said, but you won't listen at me. He said, no, there's no remedy. There's no remedy. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot of things I'd like to say this morning. But he said, there's no remedy. America, there is no remedy. You are gone. You are gone. The church world is gone. There's no remedy, Brother Gonzalez. She's gone. Her last little bit of life is ebbing out of her. And God is bringing in the year of 76 that ends her 200 year of government. And as far as we know, there's no record of any nation that ever stood even that long except Rome. Rome and America to show that she's relative, you know. And she is at the end of her way. The end of her way. Israel, oh Israel.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you hear my pleading? Thou who art the apple of my eye. Ooh, I feel something when I say that. I feel something. You know, it's almost as if the Lord just shed a tear. And you could just hear him say, how long? Israel, how long? That Jesus that walked the earth, that had his brothers, had his relatives, had his friends, that knew him, how long has he been away from his family? How long? And when he thinks about coming back, down, seeing his family, coming back down, then it's as almost as if he sheds a tear, you know. That Israel, at last, I've wounded you, I've afflicted you. Israel, there was no remedy for you. And you've been squandered, you've been driven, you've wandered through the earth. But today, Israel, I found the remedy. I found the remedy. When you repented of your sins, I found the remedy. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The song said, let me introduce you to my friend. His name is Jesus. And he stuck out his hands. Give him the right hand of fellowship, Eddie. But when he reached out his hands, they stood still. And they looked at him. And they said, where did you get the nails? He said, I got these in the house of my friends while I was fixing up a remedy for you.
a loaning. He's got a loaning to go to him and help him. Sadat coming over from Egypt, wanting America. Can you imagine wanting America to sell him arms, to give him foreign aid, give him longer terms on the loans? But one of his requests was that you don't do anything for Israel. You cut Israel off. The bonds child from Egypt coming over. You what? Atlanta is going to be a stronghold. Watch and see. You say, why? You remember? The East has to do with the Jew. Isn't that right? The East has to do with the Jew. I didn't know this until the other day, but I found out that the mayor, or I heard that the mayor of New York is a Jew. He wouldn't come out and greet Sudan. Neither would the governor. So if the big city there doesn't greet him, then he's got to turn to another place. Where will he find the right hand of fellowship? Atlanta, Georgia. Watch and see. Watch and see. What a sad hour. What a sad hour. It's time that God raised up a man child and set a Josiah on the throne. It's time that we had a Passover like the world has never seen. Joshua said, prepare some victuals. Bill, we're going over. We're going over. We're going over. Hallelujah. No make believe about it. We're going over. Hallelujah. We're going over. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together here. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said,